I'll give you a minute to do that. And we'll begin reading at verse 36 of Matthew 24. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, the people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It's as far as we'll read today. So here we are at the end of 2020. This is the last service of 2020. And you could tell because we were reflecting on this in this service as well. And because it's been a difficult year, many people have asked me this question. They said, are we in the end times? And my answer to them was very bluntly, yes, we are. Because the signs of the times are there. In Matthew 24, if we were to read through the whole chapter, you would find a situation where Jesus and the disciples are leaving the temple. We talked about the temple last week in the recording, if you remember, about the temple being this grand building that Herod built. The temple courts, along with the temple proper. And it was a much larger building than what Solomon had originally built. And the disciples and Jesus are leaving the temple at this point. And the disciples are turning around and marveling at the buildings themselves. The building of the temple itself, but also the surrounding buildings. And in Mark's version of this same story, Mark says that the disciples were looking at the buildings and commenting on it, saying, look at these marvelous buildings. Aren't they wonderful? Look at the architecture. Look at the beauty of it all. And Jesus turns to them and says, not one stone will be on another later on. And that starts Jesus' discussion into the end times. Now, for them, for the disciples, this was quite something, quite remarkable. Because for one stone not to be on another is quite a feat. Being at the base of the temple, the old temple structure, when we were in Israel, you would see stones carved out about the size of a car. And they would be stacked on top of one another at the base of the temple. They're that large. And not one of these stones is going to be on another, Jesus? And Jesus is saying the destruction of the temple is coming. And that did happen in 70 AD. The Romans came in finally and they destroyed it. They destroyed the temple. But Jesus is talking about much more than that. He's saying the destruction of all that you know and love will come. The end times are near. And Jesus goes into quite some, if you read Matthew 24, he gets into quite some detail about what's going to happen. Now, the disciples are scared and they're taken back by all of this. And they're sort of curious about it too. And so they ask the question that we all would ask. When is this going to happen? And this is where Jesus starts today. He says, you can't know. Even Jesus doesn't know. He says, it's for the Father to know. It's not for us to know the time. But he says, you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. And then he talks about Noah, the time in Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, we can read about Noah. And in fact, I'll go to that right now in Genesis 6 so that I get it right what the words say. But the people were not obeying God before, in the time before the flood. In fact, it says in Genesis 6, verse 5, beginning of verse 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Every inclination of humanity was evil at the time. And so Jesus expands on his story of Noah in Matthew 24 today when he says they were carrying on. They were eating and drinking and they were giving in marriage and they were marrying. And some scholars pointed out to me in my study of this, they're saying that they weren't really doing anything really different than what we were doing, what we do today. They were just living their lives. They weren't especially wicked in the sense that they were especially immoral, although that could have happened. But the scholars say that they were sort of leaning into that they forgot about God throughout it all. And so imagine Noah's situation, that he's in a world where everybody else has forgotten about God. And Noah needs to build this ark, this big boat that's going to hold many animals on dry land, and prepare it for the waters. Noah, in his faith, just followed God's decree. Just followed God's instructions. Just followed God's directions. He took God seriously. The others, not so much. Everybody else around him was wondering else what was going on. Because, let's face it, if you're Noah's next door neighbor, and he's building this ship in the middle of his back lawn, you're going to go up to him and ask him some questions, aren't you? It's taking him years to do this. And by faith and through his mockery, through the mockery that Noah would have received, he kept faithful, putting on one board at a time, spreading pitch and tar all over it, and preparing it for that time when God would be faithful. The people did not know when the rains would come. Noah did not know when the rains would come. He was just told to do what he needed to do. Build that ark. And so he built it. Until that day when the rains did finally come. And then, well, then you know the rest of the story. And Jesus points this out today to make the disciples understand exactly what's going on, that God the Father only knows the timing of things. Jesus doesn't know the timing. The next metaphor that Jesus talks about is the metaphor of a robber. The guy is going to rob your house. If he's going to rob your house, it would help if you knew the time when he was going to rob your house now, wouldn't it? You would prevent him from robbing your house. Of course. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought about my son. Not that he's a robber. But my son is a firefighter. You know this, a volunteer fire. And Matthew, my son, he's got to be ready to face everything at the drop of a hat. He gets the call, he races to the fire hall, he knows only a little bit of what's going on. Maybe it's a structure fire, maybe it's a vehicle accident, maybe it's a medical emergency. He only knows a minute little bit of what's going on until he gets to the scene. And it's when he gets there that he gets the full view of everything that's going on. And so while he's there, he needs to rely on his training in order to see him through. Because if he wasn't trained in certain situations, he would begin to panic. So say, for instance, he's got to run into a burning house where the fires are licking up the wallpaper on the sides of the walls. And he's got to try to locate, through the smoke and through the flames, he's trying to locate a person. For anybody else, it would be a panic situation, and we would be destined to perish at that point. But because of the training, this is why firefighters train so much. This is why they learn so much. They are always training, always gearing up, always working on their skill. Always. Why? So that when the panic situation sets in, they will be able to rely on their training. Jesus is essentially saying the same thing here. Train yourselves so that you won't panic when that time comes. When the end of things come, train yourself so that you won't flounder. You'll just do what you need to do. You'll do what comes naturally because of your training. What does that training look like? Well, Scripture, of course. Worship, of course. Regular attendance of worship. You know, we think that it's a churchy thing that we call everybody together to worship, and that, you know, and we look upon the old church and how the old ways of doing church and the old ways of doing church where you better come to church or else. And now we are way more different than that. We're more lax than that. But in regular attendance of church, we get encouraged and we begin to learn and we begin to appreciate exactly what God is doing. We get to appreciate who God is. We get to train. Another thing is, of course, groups and all this stuff. And the thing about this time that we are living in is that we're not allowed to do any of that. The only time that we come together to worship is like this. Now, today, and maybe for the next 3 weeks, who knows? Who knows? And that's why it's so important for each and every person that's out there, each and every family that's watching right now, to engage yourselves, to start training. Maybe this should be a thing that we do in 2021. Maybe this should be a resolution of ours that we do in 2021, that we purposefully train ourselves so that we will be ready for when that end time comes, the time that we don't know will come or when it will come. We know it will come, we just don't know when. Maybe we need to do this, but how do we do this when we're not allowed? The church has been trying to figure that out. Our leadership is trying to figure that one out for sure. And we've been exploring avenues of different ways that we could do things. Certainly. But eventually, it comes down to you at home. You know, I was put a question was put to me this week. When you watch church, do you watch or do you worship? Do you watch or do you worship? Watching, of course, is passive. Watching, of course, is just like sitting around watching TV. Watching, you know, reruns of Seinfeld or whatever. It's passive. It's just sort of on and it's there. And we may be looking at it. We may be watching a little bit of it. We may be watching only the good parts, like when there's songs up there and stuff like that. We may be, you know, only that. And the other times we may be just, you know, looking at our phones or flipping around in a book or looking at the week's worth of flyers. You know, I've heard it was said that a lot of people can watch church in their pajamas. I really don't blame you. Don't go run out of the room now and go change. But listen, there are people who dress up to watch services online. And there's something to say about that. It's not that they're in their full Sunday garb, but they at least make the effort to get cleaned up. It changes your demeanor. Do you watch or do you worship at home? I'll admit that when I was on holidays in November, I watched the service and I was just watching. I found that in the middle of the service, I got up and got myself a cup of coffee. I was in my track pants, you know, you're just sitting around having a coffee and flipping on my phone. You know, just everything that I would do when I was watching TV, maybe. But this is different. We need to worship. We need to engage. Because it's in engaging that we train ourselves. It's in engaging that we become ready for the end times, which seemingly are becoming closer and closer every day. And when we train ourselves, we don't have to fear. In our training, all the fear melts away. Something like my son training to go into the fire, the fear melts away. There's a job to do. We work at it. In the emergency panic situation, we work at the job at hand. And the rest of it may be there, but the training kicks in. And you act on the training rather than in the panic mode. Same with church. Same with preparing for the end. Are you ready? You see, because when you are ready, it doesn't really matter when the end comes, because you're ready. And so I encourage you, as we leave 2020 and enter into 2021, that we all dig into training, get into Scripture, be part of worship, be part of any way that you can of church. Ask how you can be part. Ask how you can help out. Ask. Don't wait to be asked. Step up and ask. And get involved. And commit. And get ready. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because when we're prepared, then it all works out. For your glory, of course. We ask, Lord, that we would prepare and that you would see us through it and that you would give us a renewed sense of confidence and a renewed sense of digging into it, a renewed sense of purpose, bringing you to the forefront again in the upcoming year, we pray. In Jesus, amen.